But we appreciate that. My brother in the Lord, Brother Mark, and Brother, as Brother Hamill would say, Brother Carlos. He put that in his announcements one time, Brother Cummins. We appreciate that. Don't you two ever be afraid of someone getting on your scriptures. I've seen preachers say, whoa, you just about got my message. And I've never worried about that. I know why Brother Harvey don't. Jeremiah 23:29, the Lord said, my word is like a fire, or as Brother Harvey would say, far. It is like a hammer. Now all I knew to do with fire is use it, and the hammer is Brother Hamill is a good carpenter. You just swing it, Brother Hamill. And you see, we're not directing it anyway, are we? So if that point is made enough and hit on enough, hey, just keep swinging away. So don't ever worry about someone getting on your point, your message, because, hey, the divine God is directing that hammer, and you're not going to get your point across anyway. He is, you know. Yeah. Well, I got a little extra time, and I'm not going to give it to my pastor because he gets to preach enough anyway, you know, so. But we do appreciate this opportunity, and I thank the Lord for my pastor, my church, and I got some scrap paper. I use Brother Hamill twice already. I'm like Brother Hamill in another way. I use that scrap paper all the time, Brother Hamill. But that's in case this fails, because, you know, the legs and the mind both went the same time for me. So, but look at Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 1. I preached for Brother Sinek here a couple of weeks ago. First time I'd preached out of town in 8 or 9 months at least, I guess. And I didn't know how I'd do, or if the memory's been failing me along with everything else. But boys, like the old harness just fit right to it. Just like that horse named Baptist. Brother Harvey preached down. I didn't get to be there at that conference in Paducah, but I sure got to hear it. And that was great. But that old preaching harness felt good to get back on, and it was great. I preached for Brother Titus, a month or two ago, but haven't been able to, so to speak. But we thank the Lord for this opportunity. Brother Titus said, I got a lot of serious problems. Well, the most serious problem I've got has already been taken care of, and that's the sin problem, you see. So I'm all set. Nothing wrong with me. I told some of you, I said, hey, I'm in the Lord and He's in me. The Lord's never had a bad day yet. So I never have a bad day, because, hey, we have good ones in the Lord. Never fails us. Because I've got Brother Dempsey's Dr. Jesus, you see, and he's following him all around the country. This little dude came here in September. He's my little buddy. He came in September, and Brother Dempsey came to preach a week, and he said, I'm going to preach the whole week on the book of Job. And I said, whoa, do I need to be reminded of this? You know, Job's trials, Job's troubles, Job's friends. But I got some good friends here, let me tell you, Brother Charlie. A lot of good ones. But boy, I'll tell you, that was a blessing, Brother Dempsey, to that week really helped me a lot. Well, let's try to get into this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so we'd like to look at our attention and direct it to verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. I really wasn't sure what the Lord would have me to preach or get settled into something. And you know, it seemed like the Lord just laid this on my heart, and I sat down at the table with this little piece of scrap paper here. And I mean, in just minutes, the Lord gave me these thoughts about, I'd like to try to preach about the learning process. The learning process. I think there's two ways we can learn. And of course, it's learning, I think, first of all, through the preaching and the teaching of God's word, and learning instruction, how to live and serve the Lord, you see. And we learn that way. We ought to seek that. We ought to seek to learn more about our Savior. But our second point is learning by experience. You see, learning by living, learning by trials, learning by troubles, you see. But learning by the wonderful teaching and preaching and by God's man, God's word, God's church, that's something we ought to seek after. We don't have to seek after learning by experience, you know, and experiencing life. That's going to come. And all the ups and downs and of life are going to come. We're going to learn that lesson, you know, whether we like it or not. But our first way of learning and the process of learning is by seeking more about our Savior. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Matthew 28 there, verse Matthew 11. Mine is starting to go already. Matthew 11, verse 28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Don't you have serious doubts, Brother Dempsey, when someone is saved and they don't want to learn about Jesus? Amen. I can't understand that. Amen. But learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest under your souls. I, you know, to learn more about Jesus. Brother Mark Titus sings some songs. This blesses my heart, I'll tell you. But, you know, and Brother Larry, my favorite song leader, leads me. He leads us some songs. One of them is, "More About My, More of My Savior Would I Know." I doubt somebody that says they're saved and don't want to learn more of my Savior. But learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest under your souls. There's a verse in, I think it's still there. It's in Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. That's chapter 16. Yeah, Romans 15, verse 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." These things that are written aforetime, they're written for our learning, you see. And when I think about the process of learning, this doesn't come naturally or through the natural birth of learning more about Jesus. That comes through the second birth, the new birth, the divine birth, the spiritual birth, the heavenly birth, you see. And there we ought to learn more about our Savior. "More of my Savior would I know." But all these things that are written aforetime, they're written there for our learning. Yes, sir. See, we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And these are what we ought to seek after, is to learn more about our wonderful Savior. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I think the eyes are failing too. I stopped in Galatians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17. "And this I say, therefore, and testify on the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." What we learn from Christ is to live a new life, you see, through that divine birth, that new birth, you see, that new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, there, verse 4. We have that divine nature now. It goes along with that new birth, a new mind, a new heart, a new life, a new desire. And here's what we learn through Jesus. Here's what we're to seek after. And that learning process is to learn more, not only of our Savior, but how we're to live for our Savior. We get through our pastor, through our church, you see, through God's Word. That's how we learn how to live for the Lord after we're saved. That learning process is a marvelous, marvelous thing. And when we don't learn, is chapter 4 right here, verse 29 and 30. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no..." Here's something we learn. We learn we're not to let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace And I got a word written down. Of course, if you've seen my Bible, you know it's pretty well scribbled up. I retired this one about 8 years ago, and then it re-entered the ministry because it's hard for me to with the loss of feeling to pick up things, and I dropped a brother and sister born or staying with me, and I dropped a bottle about 6:45 this morning in the kitchen, glass bottle, and bam, boom, you know. And so what I've done now is, it didn't wake them up. I probably didn't sleep very good. But I keep a Bible here at church. I got one in my truck. I got one by my table, one by my the chair where I sit in the living room. And I got one in my hospital suitcase. So where I go, I got one of those critters, let me tell you. But we're learning, you see. And it's so important that we learn to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. But I said all that to say this, and I'm going to miss the point. One time I was preaching, I said, we ought to minister grace and not garbage. And a man rebuked me of that. He said, that's not a very nice word to use. I'm sure Brother Clyde would give him a little piece of, he might not have much of a, if you give him a piece of your mind, he might not have much left, Brother Clyde, but I'm sure Brother Clyde wouldn't let that slip by. That a bad word to him was garbage. That's anything outside of God and His precious word, and what we learn to serve Him, that's the world. That's garbage. We don't need that. But minister grace, you see, that's what we learn. And if we don't, verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed to that day of redemption. You see, I mean, it's a guaranteed reservation and a guaranteed resurrection. I like that.
Yes, sir.
My preacher boys did a good job with the Lord's help, huh?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But we grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes,
when we don't learn to do what's right.
That's right, brother. Amen.
And how to live for the Lord, you see. And whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice. Notice how that's kind of tacked down to the end, because probably malice is one of the things that bothers us the most. Well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget, and I'll get even, you know. And how we need to learn more of our Savior, learn more of how to live for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And of course, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words, and I believe he's the writer in the book of Hebrews, but chapter 5, verse 11 there, through about verse 14, and while you're carnal, you're babe, just like there in 1 Corinthians 3, I believe. I could not speak into as mature, but as babes, because he says there in Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 14, that I want to preach you meat, but you're not able to. You have become. See, they once had, were able to take solid meat and the solid word of God, but they had become as such that have need of milk now. They had slipped back. The word doesn't slip, you see. And there's a verse in Hebrews 2, I think, warning us about not letting these things slip from us. The word doesn't slip. We slip, you see. And so we need to be reminded of this, that we are to have that desire to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says, but grow in grace, you see, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And as a newborn babe in Christ, keep on desiring that sincere milk of the Word. So, first of all, that learning process is something we seek after, is learning more about our precious and wonderful Savior. And that's part of that invitation to come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest, you see. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart, and you're going to find rest. There's not only initial rest, but there's continual rest as we learn more of our Savior and don't let the ups and downs of life. You know, if I get get down in the dumps once in a while, but everybody does, don't they? But I don't stay there very long. I'm like Brother Nimson. I just look to Dr. Jesus and I get looking and reading the Bible. I go get in my truck. Thank the Lord. A lot of people can't get out of their house. I got so much to be thankful for this morning. You know, I don't have to look very far to see people a whole lot worse than me going through things. I look at my Savior, what He went through for me, how that I think Brother Cummins used Hebrews 12, too, but looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him beyond the cross of saving a people that he had chosen before he ever came, for the world ever was, how he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Anytime you want to get down in the dumps, and I like Brother Titus, he's got some doozies. I'll tell you what. I try to remember most of these, Jim, that he comes up with. And one of them is he threw a pity party, you know, one time, and he was the only one to show up, you know. I like that. I've used that a lot, you know. But, hey, we all have them, but we don't stay there, do we, Brother Hall? We just, by the grace of God, we pick up. Because no one wants to be around. Brother Titus preached a great message Sunday on that. You don't want to talk to people that, how you doing? Well, the members here, they're wonderful. I'll tell you what, they ask me how I'm doing, and they're sincere. And some I tell, my doctor here said that and that. And some I tell, some medical things and how I'm doing. But I don't want them to think I'm complaining. I'm not complaining. Not a bit. I thank God for, he gets our attention, he got my attention when I was 34 years old. He put a sovereign hole in the ground, and I'd play baseball with my five sons. I just helped in a funeral yesterday at Liberty Baptist, and my son Darrell he's a song leader there. He was my song leader then, and he's the one who hit the baseball. And I was showing him how to pick it up and throw, and in one motion, you just turn and throw to first base. And well, here, the Lord put a sovereign hole in the ground, and this old heathen stepped in it and off balance, and I had what was called a complete dislocation, where it, like you take a chicken leg, and it just, this was a little bit bigger than a chicken leg, but it twisted it, and it popped right out. It was bone to bone, side by side, and boy, that was a tragedy. I didn't know if I ever walk again, work again. I didn't know if I ever will to work again or whatever, my life had ended, I thought, 34 years of age. Got in the hospital, and all I thought was poor little me. Well, now I think poor big me, but I still had the poor little me's. But anyway, I laid there for about a week and a half, and just in self-pity. Then I went for 3 months of therapy, electrical shock treatments, to try to get the feeling back in my left leg, which never did come back. But for the first month of that shock therapy, every day, 5 days a week, I laid there thinking about me. Never noticed anybody around. And then the Lord found me. I was thinking about suicide all these 4 or 5 weeks. That's all I could think about. I'll end my troubles. I'll end my family's troubles. Dr. Kevorkian's wrong. Amen. Suicide is wrong. You know, they'd be a whole lot more consistent, though, if they'd go ahead and confirm him. I mean, they take life away at birth, don't they? They might as well be consistent. I disagree with him completely. But, I didn't want to live. And a man that I worked with, a Baptist, he's not a true Baptist, I guess, but at least he wasn't one of these say the sinner prayer guys. He sent me a track with a get well card. All that track had to say was about sin, how bad I was. What in the world did he do that for? But I read it. I threw it away, actually, in the wastebasket. I couldn't get away from that thing. And I'd get my wheelchair and get over and get that out and read it. And tell you what, I reread and read and reread that thing for at least a week or more, maybe 2 weeks. And I called him on a Wednesday night and said, Tom, I need you to come and... Because I knew he was saved. I knew he was different. I've worked with a lot of religious people. But this man, very quietly, lived his life. And I need to know some answers here. I don't want to live anymore. And him and his wife came the next day. And you know what? When he came, I got my cigar going. And I tell you what, I put on an act. I mean, how you doing, Dean? Oh, great. Couldn't be any better. Things are going great, After about 2 hours, and we went, I had a walkout basement. We had to go downstairs, so I slid down the steps and got in a wheelchair. And my mother lived with us, took care of her 7 years. I don't know why I'm throwing all this in, Brother Titus. I won't go over here. But anyway, he says, I want to go visit your mother in the other room, because it was like two houses. two levels, bedrooms and bathrooms and everything, kitchens and both floors. And so he went and saw her and closed the door behind him. He come back out a few minutes later. And his wife had told my wife, can you get me a drink of water? Can we go upstairs and have a drink of water? And so they were gone. I was sitting in my wheelchair. And I didn't hear him talking to my mother. But he come out a few minutes later and says, your mother just trusts the Lord. She is really saved. She really knows it. And he said, by the way, why did you call me here tonight? Well, you see, the facade was gone. I mean, all of the old put on was gone, you see. I wasn't religious in any sense. I was religious enough to go to church once a year. And that 25 cents I give my kids for Sunday school, somehow on April 15th, was that $5, Brother Mark? Yeah, it was $5 I gave my kids, because I was going to write it off my taxes then. That 25 cents that I gave each kid for Sunday school became $5 come tax time. That was the way the old man works, you see. That's the way the old nature works. But there in my wheelchair, boy, I bawled my eyes out. I was right by my pool table. I was between my pool table and my precious, wonderful curved bar I made with the curved step and all my bottles of booze sitting back there. About $500 worth of full bottles, because I had to have it. I took it to work with me when I worked in the shop to get me through to noon so I could get another drink or two.
Yeah.
But right there, you see, Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I learned that by the work of the Holy Spirit. He came in. How did he find me? He found me in my basement in a wheelchair. I couldn't go to no mourner's bench. I couldn't bow this old knee. It was in a cast, you see. But right in that sitting position with my leg out, stuck out here, that's where he found me. And my friend says, well, I then begin to tell him I wanted to commit. I didn't want to live. I'll end my problems, my wife's problems, my family's problems. Well, just get rid of this old carcass, you see. Well, he began to give me scriptures about Romans 3, Brother Cummins. All of sin come short of the glory of God. I said, Tom, I know that. I feel bad already. I see my badness, you know. That's why I want to do away with myself. I already feel bad. I feel bad enough. And tears are coming, you know. He says, but I want to tell you about goodness then. I already saw my badness. It was because of God. It was in track form, you know. But he had witnessed me at work. I mean, these one-on-one witnessing, they come back to me. Things I'd been told. And I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to tell you some good things, good news. And I'll tell you, the tears kept coming. And he didn't say, you want to pray the sinner's prayer. I wish he was a true missionary Baptist. But at least he wasn't one of those run-of-the-mills, Randy. You know what I'm talking about. Just bow your, just say these words. Just go through this formalism. But he just said, Dean, just talk to the Lord as your friend and tell him, pour your heart out to him. And I did. And boy, I'll tell you what, it was... I had a feeling. I think Brother, who was it said? Brother Garner said, if you don't know you got it, you can lose it and not know it. I like that. That's a doozy too. That's good. My dad, I got that from my mother and dad, a doozy. You young people don't know what a doozy is, but that's a doozy. But anyway, there was no bolt of lightning and you know, laying on of hands. It was just, I had a feeling.
Amen.
I mean, I've lost 175 pounds in the last 2 years. First 100 pounds willingly. And the last 75 because the Lord just whipping me into shape for something, I guess. But I'm about 20 pounds under high school weight, you know. I weighed 256 when I was graduated 18 years ago. That's 40, well, I can't count anymore, 42 years ago, something like that. But... I weigh around 236, in that area, 237. But a little over 2 years ago, I weighed 415. So there was more for me to go around at that time. But but anyway, what I was starting to say here, if I don't lose my thoughts, was, you know, that physical weight wasn't my heaviest weight. No, it was that weight of sin. There's that burden of sin that David said, Psalm 38, I think he said, is too heavy for me.
Yeah.
You know? That's what lifted. I mean, I probably weighed around 400 pounds when I was saved, and I could fly. I mean, I thought somebody better hold me down, you know? Because I didn't know anything about the rapture, but I guess if I did, I probably thought I was going up, you know? But I felt weightless. It was, and I still had that 400 pounds. But that sin was a whole lot heavier than that. But I learned a lot from that and about my Savior, and I've tried to learn more since. And but after we got done, and I said amen, and my friend Tom just prayed a short prayer, and he was one of those to say, well, now you're saved. He said, well, what do you think? Do you think the Lord saved you? And I said, I don't think he did. I know he did. And he said, well, let me read you some assurance verses. And he went over to 1 John, and I said, I remember just as clear as bell, I said, Tom, I don't need them. I don't need them. I know. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Word of God, but I knew I was saved. You see? 34 years of age, almost 35. And what a Savior. I've failed so much in trying to learn more about Him, but I've sure been trying. In fact, a lot of people say I'm very trying. So let's look at Philippians for my last point. First point, naturally, certainly is learning by teaching, preaching God's Word, God's man, Lord's church. That we're to seek after. We're to go after that. As the Lord set His face as a flint towards Calvary, according to the book of Isaiah, we're to learn more about our Savior. Now, the second one, you don't have to seek it. It'll seek you. And that's learning by experience. As I said, I listened to Brother Harvey's message there at Paducah, and now I keep wanting to say a horse called Baptist, and he made that point that it's a horse named Baptist. But I tell you, this man, and he learned a lot of that, of his analogy and description about, because he knows a lot about horses, about dogs and things like that. And he's learned a lot by experience that he can apply in his preaching. And you know, we learn a lot in life, don't we? It's not the easiest way to learn by experience. But we learn through trials and troubles, tribulation. And they're good lessons. They're not easy lessons. But we're going to learn. We're going to learn them. The Lord's going to see the fit we learn them one way or the other, you see. So, Philippians. Lest I forget here where we're going. Philippians 1:29. Very familiar verse to all of us, I think. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him. Oh, they all want to go to heaven, don't they? Yeah, not only to believe in Him, but notice the last part of that verse, Philippians 1:29, but also to suffer for His sake. It's all for Jesus' sake. Yeah. Preached a message many years ago. I was a three-pointer then. I'm a two-pointer today, but it was for Jesus' sake. For the Father's sake, for the gospel's sake. If you just kind of follow that through, you'll get a good message out of that, you know. And it's not for our sake. It's for the Lord, you see. So it's given to us on behalf of Christ, not just to believe and go to heaven, but to suffer for His sake. Learning by experience. Learning by going through, you see. And a lot of times we can draw from these life of experience, as I said, Brother Harvey has, and many of his messages, and many of us have. We've all learned various and different types and had different types of experiences that will help us live a life better for the Lord. Verse 30 says, having the same conflict which you saw in me, but he says, now you hear to be in me. So they were going through some of the same ups and downs that the Apostle Paul had been going through, you see. And so, yes, we learn, secondly, by experience. And this we don't seek after, it's accepting it. It's to be the will of God. Whatever happens, it's the will of God, you see. There's no accidents. I've tried to break myself from using the word, well, so-and-so had an accident. Now, they might have had a car wreck or, you know, or something like that. But accident implies that, well, maybe it couldn't have happened and wouldn't have happened and whatever. But no, here we're learning As I said, my favorite song leader leads us in a song, "More of My Savior Would I Know." That's how we seek to learn more of our Savior. But there's another song, and it applies to this second thought and last thought and learning by experience. And that is learning to lean. Learning to lean. I think there's a page 383, I think it is. One of my favorites, I think, is either 283 and 4 or 383 and 4, but opposite of "Does Jesus Care," there's a page there, another song. I think it's about leaning. But see, we're learning to lean right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're learning to lean. And, you know, some people think they've arrived and they've learned it all and know it all. Well, I'll tell you what, according to Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, "I haven't arrived. I haven't attained that, you know, for which Christ has apprehended me for." Apprehended. He arrested him on the road to Damascus. He said, "I've not yet apprehended that for which Christ has apprehended me for. But this one thing I do, I forget the past, because that'll drag you down. And I press, I reach forth. And I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So, I'll tell you what, the great Apostle Paul had not arrived. He'd not reached some state of perfection. And if you think you have, you ain't. I like that word, ain't. Yeah. You ain't. But Philippians 1:6 in the same chapter, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Like verses Brother Cummins read there in Philippians 3, or Galatians 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you going to make that any better? Are you going to perfect that by the flesh? No way. John 6:63, he used, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." This is the old carcass we use to try to serve the Lord in. And I guess the less I've got, the Lord feels maybe I can serve him the more, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me, but I guess maybe I wouldn't want to know. I guess we don't really want to know, you know. But all learning by experience, learning by living, learning by trusting the Lord. Philippians 2:12 says, the last part of that verse is, "Work out your own salvation."
Amen, brother.
"With fear and trembling." I often say, for a couple of years that I tried to work out my wife's salvation when she was going through a change of life and having a tough time, because, and you husbands, pray for your dear wives. Thank God for them now while you got them.
Amen.
Right, Brother Dempsey?
Amen. Amen.
Brother Jones been there, and Brother Hall's been there. The Lord's give them a couple of wonderful wives. But, you know, I tried to work her salvation out, but this verse says, "Work your own."
Yeah.
Don't try to work your kids out. It won't work. Just work out your own salvation.
Amen.
"With fear and trembling."
Yeah.
You see, because, verse 13 says, "Because it is God which worketh in you, both to will it and to do it of his good pleasure." In verse 14, there, you see, he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." You see, I know there were Baptists back in those days, because they were murmuring disputings, Brother Titus. You see, there had to be Baptists back then. Now, the Lord wouldn't have put, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings," you see. But that's what we are. Oh, why, Lord, and why me, and why this? No, let's accept whoever it is and go on from there. We all get our ups and down times. Brother Channel's had his rough times. We all have it in years past. And Brother Jones here a while back. And so, I called him there in the hospital in, I believe it was Paducah, you know, and talked to Brother Jones and tried to encourage him, let him know I love him. But the Lord's able, you see. Let's just keep on looking to the Lord and serving the Lord. Philippians is a great book about learning by experience. Look at chapter 4 here. Chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 9. Philippians 4 verse 9 says, "Those things which you have both learned," notice that, "you have learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." This is about following our pastor. This is about following your pastor.
Amen.
This is about watching him as he follows the Lord.
Amen.
You see, and those things you learn from him and receive from him and heard from him and seen in him, you do as a member, you see. Thank God for my pastor. I don't know if you heard me last night when we stood as preachers. I said, "I'm Dean Smith, a member of the best church around, Home Baptist Church, you know. But, yeah, that's following your pastor. But notice verse 10 and 11, I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. But notice verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, because I have learned. The word for here means because. Because I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And he ain't talking about Kentucky or Michigan. He's talking about our state of being, our state of welfare. That's not, and that learning process is never over. We're always learning how to be more content, you know, say, with whatever our lot in life is. But as Paul said, I have learned, and I know from his teachings that he was still learning. You see, we're still learning. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. I can't do all things, but Jesus can. Amen. And he being in me and me and him, together we can whoop the world. I mean, together we can do all things, you see. And verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Not according to generous motors. I call them usually generous motors and whatever. Or according to the Social Security program that always warns about going downhill. No, it's according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, I don't just own a part of everything. You see, I own everything. I'm a joint heir. That means you're we're not only heirs, we're heirs of God according to Romans 8. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. That means we're full owners of everything with him. Amen. Not just a little part, you see. Well, we got a lot to be thankful for. Romans 5, just so much. We think about learning by experience. But Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But that's not the end of the story, because verse 3 says, not only this, but we glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, see, we're experiencing life, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Romans 8:18, I reckon. Was Paul from Kentucky, Brother Harvey? I reckon. Yeah, I reckon. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Brothers and sisters, may we keep on in this learning process. First of all, seeking more, learning more of our Savior, and seeking after that, and then learning, yes, more how to live for him, maybe through the way of experiencing life. Not the easiest way to learn, but God lets us and permits us. I'm hedged in. Nothing happens to me that the Lord doesn't permit to happen, or you. Hey, we're hedged in. You know, 2 Corinthians 12, the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet the Apostle Paul, and after thrice he had asked the Lord about it, the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul picks up and he said, most gladly. Most gladly will I therefore rather rejoice in my infirmities. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thankful the Bible says he comfort the feeble-minded, yeah. Because comfort me, brethren. So, well, we appreciate this opportunity. Thank you, my pastor. Amen.